Acts of Apostles chapter 2 from verse 14. Then Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And we said, we also look at who are the prophets in the scriptures." Right? Right? Okay, and we got out who the prophets are. Right? We said, first of all, the prophets are those who will speak in the scriptures concerning Christ's resurrection, primarily. Right? To the fathers. And that the prophet will write and will speak for whom? Moses. Right? Because Moses is the beginning of scriptures. You know, there's some people who say, "Moses! No, we've left Moses. Moses is law. We are in grace. Moses is law. We are in grace. Ah, we are in grace. Moses, hey, if you leave Moses, you don't have scriptures. I dare to say it. Because every, even the grace you are talking about was for Moses." Hallelujah. Moses wrote about the grace of God. He spoke about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. So we said, what they will speak of is Christ's resurrection, right? Which is life from the dead. They will speak of resurrection, which is life from the dead. So life will be what they will speak concerning. And the response of the people was what? Unbelief. What was their response? Their response was unbelief. Are you following me? They responded in unbelief to the words of Moses and the prophets, which we saw Psalm 78, we saw Exodus chapter 6, from verse 6 to verse 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very important. So, because of their unbelief, we said that is why the prophet will communicate the message the way they would not communicate the message. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They will communicate the message the way they did. They will not communicate. What is the message? Life from the dead. That is the message. The message is life from the dead. The resurrection of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul will now say to them in Acts of Apostles, where we read, he says, "You know not the language, the dialect, the phoné of the prophets," the dialect of the prophet. Because it is in the scriptures that we saw Paul say how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. So meaning the summary of the scripture is about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Luke 24. "Ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So that means, listen, that means the prophet will speak concerning Christ's resurrection. Where? In the scriptures. Where do they read the scriptures? In the Sabbath. And yet they still killed him. Because they know not the dialect of the prophet. So now we're about to look at how did the prophet, or how would they communicate Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Remember, they spoke it to them and they did not believe. Right? They didn't believe. So that will now form how they will talk or how they will speak of this message. Hallelujah. Psalm 78, quickly. Again, Psalm 78. This time we're not going to verses 12. We're looking at verses 1. Psalm 78 from verses 1. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. And I will utter that sayings of old, which we have heard and known, which our fathers have told us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I will open my mouth in parables. In parables. I will utter the dark sayings of old. That's the word riddle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will utter the dark sayings of old. Matthew will put it this way in Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Let's look at Matthew 13, verse 13. Matthew 13, 13. Matthew 13, 13. Are you with me? Are you with me? Can we flow? It says, therefore, I'll speak to them in parables. Are you following me? I'll speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see. Follow this. And hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. See, in them is the prophecy of Isaiah fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of the people is dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, but their eyes they have closed. Lest they should hear with their ears, and lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I will heal them. Are you with me? So he says, this is unbelief in verse 14. Unbelief. So he says, because of unbelief, I will speak to them in parables. Look at verse 34. Matthew gives, he says, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable did he speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, by the prophet who? Who? David, right? Right? Did you see David is called what? A prophet. Why? Because of what he said concerning Christ. Right? He said, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundations of the world. Meaning, he will speak in parables. Why? Because in hearing, they do not. That is what? Unbelief. So, because of their unbelief to the scriptures, the prophet will speak in parables. What is that word parable? That word parable is the word parabole in the Greek. From two words, para and balo. Para and balo. Para means to place alongside. To put alongside. Para. To place alongside. Balo means to cast, to throw. I hear me? To cast, to throw. So, parabole means to throw alongside. To throw beside. Do you understand me? Something that is cast alongside a message. Meaning, while the message is spoken, a parable will be given. Do you understand me? Parables are not the message. Parables are given to further explain and break down the message to the hearers. Are you hearing me? Parables is not wisdom. No,
it's wisdom. The wisdom of the elders.
No, it's not wisdom. Wisdom is the plain word. Hallelujah. Parable is spoken or is given to those who do not understand. So, what will Moses be doing when he gives them parable? When he uttered that saying, Moses is condescending low to their level. What will Moses be doing when he gives them figure of speech? He's trying to explain it with the simplest form. Are you hearing me? When in the simplest form for them. Why? Because of unbelief. But did they still believe? They yet still wallowed in their unbelief.
Hallelujah.
And someone will say, Pastor Smart, I'm defending Moses.
Well, if you say so, what are the explaining scriptures?
Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, glory to God. You know, like someone said, you said the Old Testament is mysterious.
No. Let me not go into details. Old Testament says mysterious mystery. So why would the prophet be speaking in mysteries? Why would they be speaking in mystery? Can't they just say it's plain? I told the person, look at the scriptures rightly. Part of what is used with the word mysterion is the word sigal. That word silence is not total silence.
We're trying to look at that as we discuss further into the in this year. I said that, right? Said that in detail. I will look at that word mysterion. We'll further open it, right?
So that word doesn't mean total silence. It means it's the same word used. He said, when you speak in tongues and you don't,
he said, let him that speak in tongues, there will be no interpreters. Let him keep silent.
That word keep silent does not mean he should keep silent. Silent. No, it's relative. It's a relative silence. It's let him keep silent and do what? And minister to the Lord and pray to the Lord. Do you understand me? So, what is the praying to the Lord? He that speaketh on in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God.
Do you understand me?
So he's not telling him to keep quiet and not speak in tongues. Are you following me?
Yes, sir. Did you now see?
He's not telling him to not speak in tongues because there's there be no interpreter or because you don't know the interpretation, keep quiet. That was not what Paul said. He's letting him speak to the Lord. So he should keep speaking in tongues to the Lord. Did you get that? So it is not total silence. Because even in that Old Testament, or let me not do Old Testament, even in the scriptures, we see how men, even in the Old Testament, that believed in the gospel. Joshua and Caleb, they were in the Old Testament. Are you hearing me? And they believed in the message. David was in the Old Testament and he believed the message. Are you listening to me? So, it's mysterion, or you say the scripture is hidden to the unbelieving mind. So it's not God that hides scriptures. No, it is unbelief that hides the scriptures. So, even when Moses, so let's just put it like this. Moses is doing his best. Have you seen those children? Those of you who have actually done NYC in schools, you will have met them. Hallelujah. Those children that, no matter how you teach them 1 plus 1, they don't know 1 plus 1 until they carry pebbles. If they are not with stones, they don't know 5 plus 5. Are you hearing me? Even if you count 1, and you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and say plus, join it together, they just give me pebbles. Let me count. There are some children like that. You now say they will not sit down. Now say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Minus 2 will be 1, 2. 1, 2, 3, 3. There's some children like that. Are you hearing me? There's some children like that. So, meaning as a teacher, you have tried your best, right? Even you use it to sing song. 5 plus 1, 6. 5 plus 2, 7. 5 plus 3, 8. So that they would, maybe they would sing. What are you doing? You are doing your best. So, what is Moses doing? Moses was trying all he could to communicate the gospel to them. Moses was not being wicked. Moses was communicating the gospel to them in plain terms. To them. Now, let me put it like this. In the simplest form that they could understand. But yet, they wallowed in unbelief. What a generation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So, Moses will use parables, figure of speech, symbols in order to communicate to their understanding what was told them concerning the resurrection. No, Moses would have spoken. They didn't believe. Why? Right? Then, you do not have those figures. Are you hearing me? Now give them those figures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He told them, I will make you a people. I'll take you to a land filled with milk and honey. They didn't believe. So what did he do? No problem. Entered the wilderness, got to Canaan. Canaan was now a prefiguring. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, for example, he told them in Genesis 1 what God's plan is.
No, Moses spoke Genesis 1 to them, right? Right? So he told them what God's plan is. What was God's plan in Genesis 1? For man to be in Christ, right? Heaven and earth. That was what God, that was what Moses told them in Genesis chapter 1. Right? Right?
Yes,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses told them it's God's plan was for man to be in Christ. But because of unbelief, what did Moses do? Moses will not give them, will not write about Noah. Moses will not write about the event of Noah. That's the reason why Moses will write about the event of Noah, in order to show them that God will deliver from destruction. So he writes to show the effect of unbelief, or the result of unbelief. Are you following me? He writes that story, or he writes that story happened in history. Hallelujah. So he writes that historical event, documented it in the scriptures, that they would know this is the result of unbelief. That is the wrath of God being without Christ. Hallelujah. Is utter destruction. And he also writes to see what will happen to the man who believes. He is saved from destruction. That's why Moses will write that way. Look at Luke 17. Let's see what Jesus will say. Luke 17, verse 26 into 27. Luke 17, 26 into 27. I'll start from verse 25. Oh, you know, years back we used to believe this is what will happen on rapture. Okay, let's look at verse 23. And they will say to you, look here or look there. Do not go after them or follow them. Verse 24. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under the heaven shines in the other part under the heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. You know his day, right? You don't know his day, right? His day will be his resurrection, right? But himself must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, remember, he's bringing him his suffering. And he's talking about Noah. As it is in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Verse 27. They ate, they drank, and they married wives. They were given to marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. What is Jesus writing or speaking about? He is speaking about the effect of unbelief. The result of unbelief. From who? From Noah. Are you hearing me? Who wrote about Noah? Moses did. What would Moses write? To warn them of the what? Result of unbelief. Are you hearing me? So Moses will write Noah's historical account. Are you hearing me? Look at 2 Peter 2 verse 5. 2 Peter 2 verse 5. I'll start from verse 4. And if God did not spare an angel who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. Verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world. We now know better off, right? We know what Peter is writing about, right? And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in flood on the world of the ungodly. Did you see that? Of the word ungodly. Then he goes again to speak about Sodom and Gomorrah. While with Moses write about Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you hearing me? So what is Moses doing? He's giving them, he's showing them the result of unbelief. worldliness. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, Noah's story was written to show what? The result of unbelief and God's salvation from destruction, from sin. Are you hearing me? God's salvation from sin. So it's not just a mere story. No, it's not a mere story. It's not just a mere historical event, but was documented for a purpose. Are you obeying? Now let's look at this. Also, Moses will write to them concerning the temple, to show them that heaven will be in man. Right? What about the temple? To show them that heaven will be in man. That is what life from within. Life within. Heaven in man. That is life within. Did you see how Moses is writing to them? Life will be from within. He will write Adam and Eve, and he will write about the tree of life. The tree of life. He will write about the tree of life. He will write about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's no fruit, it's tree of life. And Moses will write it in a figure, in symbols. Why will he write that? And he tells them to eat. The tree of life. He tells them to eat. That is to believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that tree of life is not a tree of fruits. No, it's a message. Hallelujah. Life from a tree. That's how Moses will write. It's not apple, it's not shell, it's not mango. It's not Baltimore. It's none of those things. It's not licky-licky. Hallelujah. It's none of those things. It is a message. What is the message? Life in Christ. Are you hearing me? So don't join those funny guys. Don't join those set of unbelieving guys who are worse than those who are worse than the children of Israel. You know, we say, you know, what Adam ate is apple. Are you fine? Did you see apple in the Bible? Say, he went there to pluck apple and ate. You remember during GPLR, we said, I just remember something. It's just the first funny one. A lady snapped a picture on Facebook. And when she snapped the picture, she was close to a tree and she held the tree like this. And somebody now commented from the blues. I don't know that person. Said, look at who you are standing near the tree like Eve when he was cutting the fruit. I read that and I said, oh dear Jesus. But it was just funny. Glory to God. You know, I just thought of it. How did this guy think to this place? Well, let's just. And I tell you, that lady will never snap me a tree for the rest of her life. Glory to God. Okay, so where are we? Okay. Glory to God. So, that is how Moses will write to them. Are you with me? That's how Moses will write to them. So he will now write the temple. Remember, Genesis chapter 1 is what heaven and earth in the same place. God's plan. Are you hearing me? God's plan. Heaven and earth. God in man. Are you hearing me? He goes to chapter 2 and he says, I will make, it's not good for a man to be alone. It's no wife. Is no wife. Is no wife. You know, there are some brethren, what brethren? You know, it's not good for a brother to be alone. And you have the Holy Ghost, and you are alone. It's not good for a brother to be alone. He said, the Lord even made a helpmate. The bone of my bones. bro, go and learn cooking skills. Don't learn it from Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've told you people to meet. I'm not saying it here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Can I see anything?
Sorry, you were smiling.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
So, he says, it's not good for a man to be alone. He said, I will make for him a help meet. So, the help meet will be God. The help meet is not a woman. That's the word Hazar. Hazar is never used for a woman. One who rescues from danger. Woman rescue from danger. How? When your car spoils on third mainland bridge, the woman has left you. It cannot help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, it's an help meet. It's an help meet. Wait until your car breaks down. You discover that the woman will sit inside the car. It will push. Hallelujah. Then you understand what help meet is. You say, you know, as a brother, I go out to evangelize. When I come back, I need a wife. They'll help me wash. After she's done washing, she'll cook food. When she's done, go and look for your robot. Hallelujah. You know, that is the work of your wife. Don't you know you're a helper? Say you're a helper. You need to help.
I'll get that to you. Just give me a few seconds. I'm coming to you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't you know? But you know, listen. Listen and listen good. Because of he said that to Adam, you remember he said a promissory note, right? 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 He said, I will make for him a helpmate. So what did he now do? He now prefigures it.
Some people don't like this.
He now prefigures it, now give him your wife. So the marriage, what we call wedding or marriage of the man and the woman, is to prefigure Christ and the church. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So what the marriage should be, so when, if you see, when Paul was addressing, was speaking about Christ and the church, what did he bring in? Husband and wife. Hallelujah. So those are so the marriage of a man and a woman will reflect Christ and the church. Should reflect Christ and the church. Hallelujah. Where the woman becomes submissive to the husband. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the church to Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the husband and wife will mirror Christ and the church. Okay, let's go. Or a bit. Also, Moses will write Abraham. Did you see how Moses is writing? He has given, so the major teaching, or if you miss Genesis 1, 2, 3, if you miss on the understanding of Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, everything you are reading in Genesis is shambles. That is the foundation of Genesis. If you wrongly interpret it, you are wrongly interpreting the whole Genesis. So you must have understanding of Genesis 1, 2, and 3. If not, you will misinterpret the whole thing. Even though you get to Abraham, you'll be singing, Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham. And you are thinking of money in your account.
I am blessed in the money.
No, because you don't know the reason why Abraham was written. Abraham's story was written for a purpose. Hallelujah. So Moses will now document Abraham's story. Abraham is an historical person. Abraham's story happened in Israel. So Moses will now write Abraham on Mount Moriah. Why? Why will he write Abraham's story on Mount Moriah? Because he teaches. Abraham said to Isaac, Genesis 22, verse 7 to 8. Genesis chapter 22, from verse 7 to 8. Just a short exhortation will soon be done. Hallelujah. But Isaac spoke. You know, some people say Abraham was tempted by God. Go and listen to our message explaining temptation, trials, and persecution. We saw it there. God never tempted Abraham, right? Aha. So you understand that. Glory to God. That word means to prove. Okay. So you see, when Abraham was proved, right? Okay. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, because Abraham knew what they were going to do in Mount Moriah. Abraham was aware. Mount Moriah was a teaching meeting. Are you hearing me? Mount Moriah was a teaching meeting. Glory to God. When what verse? Verse 7. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Then he said, look, the fire, the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two men went together. He said, my son, Jehovah will provide the lamb. That is the way we got the word Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh. It's not Jehovah will provide me a job. It's not Jehovah will provide me a money. It's not Jehovah will give me connection. It is Jehovah will provide himself a lamb. Hallelujah. It's not Jehovah Job Jireh. No, for my eyes to say it's not Job Jireh. No, it's not Jehovah Job Jireh. It's not Jehovah Money Jireh. It's not Jehovah Wifey Jireh. No, it's Jehovah Jireh will provide the lamb. Jehovah will provide himself the lamb. Why would Moses write this? Why would Moses write this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Moses will write this so that they would know that it is God that will provide the lamb. Meaning in the ministry or in the sacrifice, let me put it like this. In the service of God, God provides the lamb. Listen, God provides the lamb. Himself provides, himself offers. Listen, he's the lamb, or he provides the lamb. He is the high priest and he offers the lamb. So that is what he's showing Abraham. Or Abraham is showing Isaac. Remember, Abraham is aware. So Abraham said, the Lord will provide himself the lamb. Meaning that sacrifice will be God's own. So in the work of salvation, man has got no input. That is what Abraham is showing Isaac. Man has got no input. It is God himself who will provide the lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Moses will write this to them, that God will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. But because of unbelief, they didn't still believe. Do you know they didn't believe? They didn't. So what did Moses do? Moses gave them burnt offering. We'll look at this very well during our teaching on understanding the gospel later on in the year. Hallelujah. So this will be like an introduction to it.
Hallelujah.
So we're already getting prepared for understanding the gospel.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Moses, because they don't believe, Moses will not give them the sacrifice which they offer. So they had was offering and listening, but remember, Moses had already told them it is Jehovah that will provide himself the lamb. Hallelujah. Meaning, when they are offering those sacrifices, what should be in their head or what should be in their mind will be Jehovah will be the one to offer the sacrifice in Christ. Are you hearing me? Jehovah will offer the sacrifice in Christ. Glory to God. So, unbelief will make Moses give them the burnt offering. And the writer of Hebrews will say in Hebrews chapter 10. Quickly rush to Hebrews 10. Verses 1. He says, for the law, having a shadow of things of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at verse 3. It says, but in those sacrifices there was a remainder of sin every year. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. That means it was a shadow. That was what the writer of Hebrews said in verse 1. He calls it a shadow. So they offered, Moses would not make them offer it yearly, once in a year. Why would they offer it once in a year? Once in a year will imply a time. Are you hearing me?
The exhaust. Can you point it on in this way?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you hear once in a year or yearly, that word year implies a time. Are you listening to me? A time. So it's showing you that once. So Moses will put it once in a year to show that the sacrifice will be done once for all time. Are you hearing me? So that once in a year is once forever. Are you following this? Are you following this? So I need you to follow me clear. I need you to follow me well. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. So, the writer of Hebrews says he cannot take away sin. So, but Moses will give them the sacrifice to show what? To show that forgiveness of sin is in the resurrection. That's what he's giving them. The forgiveness of sin is in the resurrection. Why resurrection? I thought they killed the lamb. Yes, they did kill the lamb, but the forgiveness of sin is in the resurrection. How? Because when they kill the lamb, they will carry the blood, right? And sprinkle the blood. What is the blood for? Blood is used to signify life. Blood is used to signify what? Life. Are you hearing me? The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So blood will signify life. So when they kill the animal is dead, right? And they take off the blood. What does it show? It shows life from the dead. Are you hearing me? I need you to follow me closely. When they kill the animal, are you following me? When they kill the sacrifice is dead, and they take up the blood. The taking up of the blood, remember, blood shows what? Life from the dead, right? Yes, sir. Now that blood was is to signify resurrection. Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So that is to signify life from the dead. That is to signify resurrection. So, what did Moses give them? That sacrifice to signify the death of the Messiah, the blood to signify he will rise from the dead. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Are you following what I'm teaching you? Because all this we are going somewhere. They are all going to Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 17. That's where we're driving to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the lamb being dead and the blood sprinkled shows life will come from where? The dead. So the use of symbols and parables was because of unbelief, and it was to bring it to their level. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So, unbelief. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Unbelief will be as it were. If you look at it, the unbelief will not make you look as if the scripture was hidden. Right? Look at the scripture was hidden. Why would you also give us this? But you need to start reading from where? Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. That is the foundation of Bible study. Are you hearing me? So if you understand Genesis 1, 2, and 3, that is the foundation of Bible study. So if you read from Genesis 1, 2, 3, you will discover that it's actually not hidden. But if you just jump to the blood and the spirit, say, Are you hearing me? It's just like somebody saying, why did Moses now say a man should not put on one pertinent to a woman and a woman should not put on man's eye? Just laugh. I say, is it because you've not read from Genesis 1? Hallelujah. If you have read from Genesis 1, you will not say that. Hallelujah. Because Moses is using it to teach believers' conduct. Believers' conduct. Hallelujah. You need to teach walking in love. Are you hearing me? The same way too, the church in Corinth was not too far-fetched from the people in the wilderness because of they walked carnally, though they are born again. The difference is that they were not unbelieving, they were believers, but they walked as unbelievers, right? They walked as men. So what did Paul do to write to speak to them? He employed symbols, right? Paul brings in symbols also, right? And shows them. Are you hearing me? Very important. Because of why? They are unbelievers. We saw that during communion table, right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, what is being communicated right from time is what? Life from the dead. Right? Life from the dead. Indwelling. So, what did Moses do? Moses has shown us that heaven and earth in the same place is actually life from the dead. That's what Moses has shown us. Right? It's actually life. Heaven and earth in the same place is the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. Right? That's what Moses showed us. That God would dwell in you. And he gave them the temple. And in the temple you have the holiest of all, where they believe God dwells. That means God will dwell the man that believes. Hallelujah. Are you following that? Okay, let's see how Jesus will put it. John chapter 3, verse 3. John 3, 3. We could echo that, but we'll have to look at it. Jesus answered and said to him, assuredly, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water, that is the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, and can't tell where it cometh and where it goeth. So is everyone who is born of the spirit. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Don't do your Bible study like this, you Hallelujah. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So he calls it born of the Spirit. Do you understand? He said one is born again. Once you are reading John chapter 3, you must have read John chapter 1. What is in John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God, right? And verse 12, verse 10 into 12, into 11 to 12, he came to his own, his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you must have that. And he now brings in again Jesus' words to Nicodemus, except one is born again, he cannot be born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So therefore, to be called the Son of God is to be what? Born of the Spirit. Right? Please be taking these things down. In verses 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And whoever believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life. Did you see what Jesus just did? Jesus just explained to us what Moses did when he gave them the brazen serpent. Hallelujah. Amen. When he prefigured the brazen serpent. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus never said he is the brazen serpent. We'll get to see that. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. He said, whosoever believes. Glory to God. Amen. Whosoever believes. Should not perish but should have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but should have eternal life. So what is Jesus saying? He said, shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that is to die? And said, believe in the resurrection is life. That's what he said. He said, verse 15, whosoever believes in him, which him? In the resurrection, right? He says, should not perish but should have life. So to believe in the resurrection is life. So if you weigh in, before you get there, you must have read chapter 1, 2, 3, right? So what is Jesus saying? To be born of the Spirit is to be the Son of God, right? Right? And that means what? You have life, right? So Jesus calls the Spirit life. He calls to be born of the Spirit life. He calls to be born of the Spirit life. Are you following me? Hallelujah. In chapter 4, he met the woman at the well. And he told the woman, verse 14, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water shall give to him will become to him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Everlasting life. So he calls, remember in chapter 3, he has called water spirit. Are you following me? So the woman is talking about water in the well. Jesus is talking about the Spirit. Hallelujah. So can you see why wholesome reading is very important? You don't just jump. This is why you need to read together. So he has called. So a reader that is reading from chapter 1 of John was referred to chapter 3. And has seen that water is spirit. Are you hearing me? He calls water spirit. Then he gets to chapter 4. And Jesus said, whosoever drink of this water that I shall give, spirit. And he calls it life. Are you following me? Yes, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 6. Look at verse 47. Most assuredly I say to you, whosoever believes in me has everlasting life. Chapter 1, whosoever believes. I'm in chapter 1. As many as believe on him, to them he gave the right to become the Son of God. Right? So the Son of God, to believe is to be called a child of God. Right? You receive the Spirit and he calls it life. Where is Jesus writing, or where is this teaching from? Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, the tree of life. Eat. Remember, we said to eat means to believe, right? Whoever believes in me should have eternal life. Now he's saying in chapter 6, verse 47, if I'm not mistaken, verse 47, he said, whosoever believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your father ate manna in the wilderness and they are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven. Now one may eat of and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I shall give him is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Hallelujah. Look at verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. John 14. Whosoever eats my flesh and drink my blood. Is that belief? Is that belief? That's belief. He said, does what? Abide in me and I in him. John 14. Who will abide in him? John 14, 23. Are you following me? So take note of that. We'll see it shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Look at chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Come to me and drink. Will it be believe?
Yes, sir.
Okay. He who believes. Did you see the explanation? That drink will be what? He who believes in me. As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's not the person's heart, but his own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, out of my heart, out of my belly.
Somebody will not be fasting, will have big belly. Like a 35 years military man in service. That is big, unmovable, unshakable. Let's go for a root man, his root work.
Hallelujah. So, you know why my stomach is big? Gushings of water. Bro, go fast. Hallelujah. No, look at verse 39. This is spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing would receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the hearts, the belly or the heart, the Spirit will flow from will be from Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it talks about the Spirit here. Hallelujah. It talks about the Spirit. And it says, come and drink. Somebody, we just saw that he who believes has life, right? He that except a man eats my flesh and drink my blood, he does not have life, right? Now he now says, if you drink, you receive the Spirit. So Jesus will use the Spirit and life interchangeably. Hallelujah. Look at John 13 verse 8. We saw this during GPLR. Let's look at it. John 13, 8. He said, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part in me. He did not say, if I do not wash your feet. He said, if I do not wash you. That is salvation. Hallelujah. So Jesus now brings in a very vital information concerning salvation. There shall be a washing. So this life, this Spirit is actually a cleansing. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? There shall be a cleansing. So Jesus will bring in the work of the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So his work to be carried out in the spirit will be what? To cleanse.
Hallelujah.
So how will he do it? John 14:16. I will pray the Father, he will give you another Allos Paracletos. So it will be carried out by the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In Luke 24:47, it said, and repentance and remission of sin will be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem, to be preached. In John 20:23, he said, whosoever sins heareth it is repented. Hallelujah.
Look at John 20. There's something vital we need to pick up from John 20.
Look at John 20 and open Matthew 16:20. We want to look at two things. It's something very important. Matthew 16:20. Sorry, Matthew 16:19. Look at John 20:23. Only to them you receive yet the Holy Ghost. He said, if you forgive any, forgive the sins of any, they are forgiving them. Right? Whosoever sins they forgive are forgiven them. And whosoever, and whoever you retain is retained. He didn't say whosoever sins. That word sins is italicized, the second one. Hallelujah. Whosoever you retain is retained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why will he say this? If you just jump in there, say, you cannot be like some people. I go about forgiving and retaining people's sin. Hallelujah. Look at John 16:19. He says, after he was done, said, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And I said, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. However you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What is he talking about here? He's talking about the gospel. Hallelujah. I need you to get this straight. He's talking about the gospel. So when he said this to Peter, and now you are now seeing John 20, you now know that it is talking about the gospel. Look at Luke 24:47. Repentance and remission of sin will be preached in his name. Are you hearing me? So, when a man believes the gospel, he receives forgiveness of sins. It's called aphesis. The total taking away of sin. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He is forgiven. His sins are taken away. Aphesis. So, meaning, listen, if a man believes, it's just one thing that happens. He receives the Spirit. Hallelujah. So that Spirit he received is called life. Hallelujah. And by receiving, because he has received the Spirit, he has obtained remission of sins. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? We are moving together. We are about to arrive at Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 17. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:7. It said in him, let's just look at it. Ephesians 1:7. He said, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So in Christ's resurrection, we've received eternal life, which is the Spirit, which is the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. These are not three different things. No. No. They're not three different things. No. This is the Spirit we've received. Hallelujah. But you know, we'll explain. You see, that event that took place at the new birth is the Spirit you received. Hallelujah. And you find out that we'll keep explaining what we've received for years and years and years and years. Why?
because everything happened together. Hallelujah. You receive forgiveness of sins. You receive the Holy Ghost. The receiving of the Holy Ghost is life. The receiving of the Holy Ghost is the forgiveness of sin. Hallelujah. That is righteousness. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This doesn't happen in different succession. There's no point for sanctification. No, it happens together. There's no second work of grace. No, it happened once in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It happens once in Christ. Glory to God. He is a son. He didn't become a son 2 days after he received the Holy Ghost. No. That day he believes. That same hour. That same second. That same... See, if the day you believe, if it takes 1 millisecond after for you to receive the Holy Ghost, it's not the work of Christ. The work of Christ is the moment you believe, that same stance. Look at what happened. Okay, let me not go too far. That same instance, that same point, that same time, you receive the Holy Ghost. That same time. That same time, not a minute or a second or a millisecond or a micro millisecond or a microscopic micro millisecond. Hallelujah. Not even that. That same spot, you receive forgiveness of sins. That same spot, you are a son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it happens immediately. These are undeniable facts and unchangeable truths about believers. Undeniable, unchangeable truths. It cannot be changed. I am a son forever. I hear me. It cannot be changed. It is eternal forever. Are you hearing me? It's eternal, undeniable, unchangeable fact about myself. I'm a son forever. I have life forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have the Spirit forever. You know, there's someone who called me and said, sir, I don't know. God has left me. I've left God. let me let you know something. An undeniable fact is that he lives in me forever. He said he will abide with you forever. Undeniable. Undeniable. Are you hearing me? Nothing can change it. Not even the economic situation of the world. Undeniable fact. Undeniable fact. Undeniable. Unchangeable. Nothing can change it.
Yes, sir.
No stigma put on a believer can change it. I'm a son forever.
Son forever.
Glory to God. Yeah, you helping me. I have life forever.
Are
you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
You need to know that. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It is for eternity. The Spirit of God you've received is for eternity. Listen, you need to understand that. Christ in you is for eternity. So there is no, Lord, come down, or I'm waiting to see you. No, He's in you for eternity. He's in you for eternity, forever. Hallelujah. Listen to me. It is forever in you. Glory to God. Now don't listen to this. This truth is eternal. The Holy Ghost is in us. That's the truth. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Now see what is going to happen. Acts of Apostles chapter 2.
Acts of Apostles chapter 2. Now Peter will now say, this is that, verse 16, which is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days. Last days is not the end of the world. No, last days. Last days, brothers and sisters. Last days means in the fulfillment of these things. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Which things?
His resurrection is talking about.
Hallelujah. In the last days, it says, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Take note. Remember, I said something to us yesterday. We looked at the word lambano, means to take off what you are. Right? Then I said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Meaning, the Holy Ghost you've received. He's saying, I will take out of it. Now remember, upon will now be a demonstration of the inward reality. So what is the inward reality? The inward reality is, I want to just show you something. The inward reality is, and that's how we close for today. I'll continue tomorrow. The inward reality is that the Spirit is in you forever. You have life forever. Let me put it this way. The Spirit is in you for eternity. Life is in you for eternity. You've received forgiveness of sins for eternity. You've obtained, you are righteous for eternity.
Hallelujah.
You are holy for eternity.
Hallelujah.
Now, this will now form why when Jesus spoke to them, he now said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And the Bible said, he in that same hour rejoiced in the Spirit. What am I trying to show you? I'm showing you that the reason why we rejoice is because of eternal truth. Hallelujah. So when the affairs of this world comes and hit around, you're not just looking at it. No. Your eyes is on the ball. Are you hearing me? What is the ball? Eternal truths. Are you hearing me? I need you to understand this forever. So why, when people see you rejoice, you're not just rejoicing, you are rejoicing for eternal truth. Hallelujah. Isn't me forever. I'm seated together with him. Hallelujah. In the heavens forever. That is why we rejoice. It's for eternal reality. Eternal truth. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Is he in you? Glory to God. So, Peter will now say, in verse 17, he says, I will pour out of my spirit. Where is the spirit? Me. So I will pour out of. It's the taking of what you have within upon. I will say that word upon is a demonstration. Are you hearing me? It's a demonstration. Hallelujah. You know, many people, you see, the reason why, you see, some people don't understand why we rejoice. And because they don't understand, they just say, what are these guys doing? They feel offended.
Yes.
That's like some people who say, I cannot rejoice because I'm not feeling fine. Are you fine? You are really not fine. Because if you are fine, it doesn't tell, your health doesn't have to play in anything yet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
If you understand why we rejoice, you will not just rejoice alone in the gathering of believers.
Mm.
In your closet you will. Because you know it's an eternal fact.
Wow.
It's an eternal truth.
Yes.
You just doesn't just go. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
What's happening to this guy? Glory to God.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Just keep expressing it.